recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The show's beginning on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. I love that about you, right, Drew?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Want to thank Butcher Box for the show. Promo code ADS, TrueCar.com, and LifeLock, promo code Adam. All right. So we were talking on the last show about
your
climate
thing.
And the special and kind of what's going on with
comedy. I was thinking there is a comedic piece of my wife's reaction to your special, which she loved. She I don't know if I can characterize this properly. But she was saying things like, you don't see it. You're around him all the time. He was being so cute and sensitive and thankful to you. And I'm like, oh, no, no. You got the exact opposite. I know Adam very, very well. I happen to be a part of the experience, but it was no special gratitude for me. She projected stuff onto you.
Thank you.
Which I let her have.
Thank you for letting your wife project things onto me.
Which would crack me up. She's like, oh, no, you don't understand. I have special insight in Adam. anyway.
Yeah, so what's going on in the world? There's a sort of political wind that is blowing through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the political wind used to just blow through politics.
Right.
And then it sort of blew a little bit toward like schools and campuses and colleges and then it kind of blew. There's a sort of a corporate-ness to mm-hmm. it, and it started mm-hmm. affecting that. But
a product, yeah.
But it never affected comedy.
Right.
Comedy, there's no room for that.
Or entertainment generally.
And then all of a sudden, entertainment not only started getting this political wind, but started blowing hard with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a world where the thing, look, nobody cares what LeBron James's politics are. He is going to be welcome on any roster, on any team in the league, especially 19-year-old LeBron James. Doesn't matter what he thinks. Doesn't matter what his positions are. Doesn't matter.
This is back to the purity of sports.
Right. There are certain professions that are that way. But most professions, we could use him or we could use her, we could use him.
Yeah.
And when you go, who's going to be the next Batman? Who's going to be in this movie? Or who's going to be in that movie? Well, we got a whole big choice of people.
Somebody good.
And now, since there are a lot of good people, well, now we're beyond LeBron James. We're going to start factoring in other things. And
so
now,
not just being good.
Well,
because there's a lot of good choices.
There's a lot of good people.
Yeah, right.
So now we're going to sort of factor good, and we're going to start thinking about other things.
Right.
And when they start thinking about other things, then once they start figuring out other things, then you could be helped or you could be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting around and you go, I'm a huge supporter of Bob Johnson. And you go, okay. This guy over here, he donated to the Bob Johnson campaign. You go, oh, good. Now everyone's good,
mm-hmm.
but that guy donated to the guy I voted for.
A little bit better.
That's good. And then you go, she's running against Hank Jenner. And you go, oh, I hate that guy.
Mm.
Well, that guy over there, he's a big Hank Jenner supporter. And you go, oh, well, this decision's going to get easy in a minute because everyone's good. I'm just going to focus on this guy.
Sure.
Now, that's kind of a default human setting, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, here's the problem.
Before you state the problem, can I tell you something really interesting that was in the New York Times this morning?
Mm-hmm.
An article about Google where they've been making such efforts to improve payment for women, you know, the equal pay thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a huge study, and it turns out they are disproportionately disadvantaging men. For the same job by a large margin.
Mm.
So it's interesting. So the pendulum seems to have swung a bit. There it is. There it is.
Look, you guys heard me say unintended consequences. Unintended consequences. Like it cannot.
How did you get that fast?
Gary really pulled that thing up there. So now we have a problem. We have a problem, which is, all right, well, this guy's, I'm a Steelers fan. That guy's a Ravens fan. And that guy, that other comedian over there, is a Steelers fan. Yeah. So I'm just going to pick him because who cares? And they're both good, right? Mm-hmm. That's normal. Mm-hmm. And that exists. Mm-hmm. The problem, other problem is what we're getting into now is like, I heard that guy talking about the Ravens.
Right.
What'd he say? Oh, here's what he said.
Right.
Okay, well, he's now on the list. He's in the basket of deplorables who I'm not going to choose from. And people pretend this doesn't exist, or they naively act like it doesn't exist. You tell me.
It has always existed in some version. This is
a version
of
this. But let me tell you this. Let's just pretend it doesn't exist. All right. Why does Mark Duplass send a tweet out that says Ben Shapiro's a good guy? I don't agree with a lot of stuff he says politically, but if you want someone on the other side of the aisle who's a good dude, that's Ben Shapiro. And then immediately have to retract that statement and beg for forgiveness. Why? If it doesn't exist, if Mark Duplass is not worried about not working anymore, mm-hmm. then why does he walk that one back?
It's all about public execution through eliminating employment.
But I'm saying, let's just say this thing didn't exist. If this thing doesn't exist, then Mark Duplass goes, well, so what? Mm-hmm. You can disagree. We'll agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. I like Ben Shapiro. I said he was a good guy. He helped me out on a project. Mm-hmm. Was a good dude. I met with him. Why does he walk it back so immediately? Because he's scared. Why is he scared? He's got reason to be scared. Mm-hmm. That's where we're living.
Yes. It affects employment, for sure.
Okay. I love the idea that people think that's paranoia.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, look at the extreme example of it. He lied. Fire him. And we're not going to give up till you do.
Right.
Brian Williams.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. So when it comes to comedy, everyone is now woke. And it's not enough that you make people laugh. It's we got to figure out what the subjects are, what color your skin is, how old you are, where you come from, who you've had on your show, what you tell some of the opinions you put out into the universe. And we're going to factor that all in.
I think that all has a small effect on whatever headwind you're hitting. But I think everyone's hitting headwinds because executives are having real trouble making decisions these days. I think it's especially acute for you because they're trying to make decisions on comedy the way you're talking about it. What you're saying is absolutely true, but they also can't make decisions generally.
Well, Drew, you're making an insane assertion, which is like they're not putting anything on the air. They're putting tons of stuff on the air.
They are. I would argue my
All
experience.
Right, don't be insane.
Okay.
No one knows what you just said.
All right.
They're not making decisions in general.
All right.
No, they're making decisions. If you fit a category that can get them a little virtue signaling, mm-hmm. then you will be green lit. If you are putting one that's not, and when people argue, they go, hey, listen to your own words, Ace Man. These guys are corporations. They want to make money. Yes, they do want to make money. And yes, that is their bottom line. And yes, this factors in. Mm-hmm. It's not a different conversation.
Right.
Gary? Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Thoughts?
I thought the special was great. For the record, I rented it last night, so there
Gary.
You go.
Cha-cha-cha.
Gary, yeah.
Gary.
It was, I thought it was really fun. I did not think that the, you know, you had highlighted for me in advance on a couple of the shows, I don't know if it was A&D, but that there were maybe a few Mexican jokes coming, and maybe that was what made Netflix uncomfortable. It bums me out if that was the case. If that's what made them uncomfortable, it bums me out because nothing was mean-spirited. There were Mexican guys in the audience laughing their asses off at it. And I think that being able to laugh at your own, at yourself or your own community is an important thing that we are losing.
Right. But also, there was a couple of Mexican jokes, but .. that were done at a couple of Mexican jokes, like in today's world.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't have even known if you hadn't said something about it in advance, but I can see why you maybe think that's probably the case, and I agree with you. I think you're probably right, but it's a bummer because it wasn't anything mean-spirited. It was
funny.
It's funny. And yeah. You're allowed to say things that are controversial. That's the job description. But be funny and don't be hurtful. And I think you checked all those boxes.
Well, thank you. I don't say that it was all, you know, I'm being discriminated against or it's because I made a Mexican joke. I just think that I'm generally perceived as this kind of guy, and there's no reason to even – why bother even taking the chance when there's so many other funny specials out there? You just put that one on. So I've realized I've made my way into that category, and it was of my own doing. And so we'll just do it ourselves. That's the new – that's my new reality.
I think that's the way a lot of people are doing it. They're just doing good things. The audiences are finding them, and then they go back to television.
Yeah, but not in the stand-up special department.
No, you're right. I don't know about stand-up specials. You're absolutely correct.
No, most people get paid a shit ton of money and sell them somewhere.
Right.
But we'll do it ourselves, and we'll do it with you guys. In that vein, Drew.
Yeah.
I'll give you a very good example of what. Gary's talking about. I'll let you do your business first.
Well, of course, my business is Butcher Box. Delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed, finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. New wild Alaskan sockeye salmon sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. The color tells you it is fresh and not factory farm. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is amazing, and there's free shipping anywhere in the U.S., continental United States, sorry, Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment, cancel easily anytime. And we have a special offer that is phenomenal. You get 2 pounds of free ground beef for life and $20 off by going to butcherbox.com and entering the code ADS at checkout. Seriously, I just don't know how this is possible.
I love ground beef.
Their ground beef is exceptional. I love their filet. I love the – they have like a what is that, a flank steak or something that's amazing? Everything is good. It's just all good. And you're never unsatisfied with them. And $20 off, 2 pounds of free ground beef for life. Go to butcherbox.com, enter code ADS to check out. You will not be unhappy.
So I was saying on Gary's subject, I think I told it on ACS. I don't know if I told you this, but it's a slippery slope when you go like, he made jokes about Mexicans. Like, yeah, but jokes with them in the audience, and they were laughing as hard as anyone else was laughing. And this notion of you can make jokes, you know, about your family or about your spouse or about your kids. Well, that's fine. But then this group, no, it's the same rules apply. You make jokes about your kids. You don't hate your kids or have any animus toward your kids.
Right.
At least not one of them.
Well, your family, the family of origin stuff.
Maybe you're right. Let's take it easy on the Mexicans, yeah. The point is so Drew.
Yeah.
I was, by the way, all chick think, by the way. This is chick think. Now, these are dudes thinking like chicks, but this is how chicks think, and I can prove it.
I'm ready.
Sitting around the table at the Quail Lodge.
The Quail Lodge, okay.
And,
not the Baghdad Cafe, but the Quail Lodge.
Huel would not work at the Quail Lodge because there's actually interesting things going on.
Of course.
And he wouldn't know what to do. Yes. So at the Quail Lodge, Pebble Beach, Rolex Historics, best event. I mean, you show Dr. Drew a picture of that Quail Lodge. I don't mean of the actual Quail Lodge, but the event.
A quail, the bird walking across the lodge. Got
yes,
it.
Yes, got it. Of the actual event. It is... You've never seen greener grass or redder Ferraris than this.
It's all, they're just all laid
there.
Out all over
yes.
the place.
Yes, and it is a cavalcade of Ferraris and Lamborghinis and gullwing Mercedes, and along with the greatest wine and cheese and caviar and everything. They cap it at 3,000 tickets and sell out in 10 minutes, and the tickets are $800 a piece and wow. blah, 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 blah. So I'm sitting around this table.
Oof.
And we're drinking
what
Bugatti.
Is that? That's a Bugatti, yeah.
Drinking, all right.
Convertible Bugatti.
No more pictures for Drew. He gets distracted.
I am distracted.
I'm sitting around a table, and I'm drinking champagne with this guy, you know, with the suede loafers and the big big gold Rolex and everything, and he's talking about the time he had a Bizzarrini 5300 Strada, and he bought the Bizzarrini for, you know, 75 grand and sold it for $180,000, and now they're worth $1.2 million. And the other guy's talking about the other Bizzarrini, and the other guy's talking about the Lamborghini, and they're pouring more champagne, and everyone's dressed to the nines. And I said, this is exactly what black people think white people do all day. And
this is reminds me of something from The Family Guy with everyone with the big chins.
And the chick went, oh, okay, okay, okay. And I was like, no, no, no. I'm not saying anything bad about it, but okay, we heard you. We heard you. We heard you. Like, no more. And I'm like, no, no, I'm making a joke at our expense. Like, I'm not saying black people are, oh, we heard you. We heard you. A little too much humor. Moving on, moving on, moving on. And I thought, it's the opposite of comedy. And also, shut up, bitch. And thirdly, now everyone thinks like she does.
Right.
That's a dumb chick way of thinking that guys have adopted. And it's like, the idea is you heard black person somehow and you panic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a form of racism, I would.
Oh, yes.
I would argue.
I agree.
If you're that wound up about,
yes, if you don't know where you stand vis-a-vis race, I argue that's racist.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You should have thought about it. You should be clear about it. You should know your liabilities. You should be able to talk about it.
Well, I didn't even know if she knew where she stood. She just heard black people, and well, then she dove in because she freaked out, right? Yes.
Awful. But hey, speaking of dudes, well, I don't know if you want to get that, but I found these in your bathroom.
Dude wipes.
And I just had a weird reaction to them. Are these yours?
The dude wipes. No one does pod like Drew. Hey, that? Is this thing yours? Found this.
You like the way this looks?
I like it.
No. We mentioned dude wipes. I found dude wipes in your bathroom.
Oh, did we mention dude wipes?
Yeah.
No. Anyway, yes, they're things.
And they are just exactly like the name suggests, you know, flushable dude wipes. And it just occurred to me that women have always had things like this.
Yes.
And with fragrance and with stuff. And I understand they're more into that kind of thing. But I would argue the need is on the dude side.
Yeah.
And it's weird that we just got to this.
Yeah.
We have the funk. We got the, what shall we say, the bulk, the material, and the folds, and the hair.
Mm-hmm.
We, as you've schooled me, that whole region is like trying to pull peanut butter out of shag carpet if you're trying to clean it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed that it took to the 21st century to get to the dude wipe.
Funniest story ever is when some people are on to these kind of things early in life. One time, Jimmy wiped his ass with the Clorox.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff you use to wipe the sink down.
Yes. Who left that pet box nearby?
On top of the toilet or on top
God.
Of the...
God. What kind of animal?
Ex-wife. Oh. I'm glad. It was a funny story. Damien, 21, Indianapolis.
Hello.
Hello.
So I have a question for Dr. Drew mainly, but I take a lot of caffeine pretty regularly, about... I don't know, 400 to 500 milligrams a day.
Yeah.
When you say take, hold on. It's so weird. I listen to talk radio like all day.
Yeah.
And I'll hear the host like go, excuse me. And the people just like that, actually, they push hard. They're like, I'm going to weather this storm of the host trying to cut me off.
I've gotten into just putting people on hold. That's my thing now.
You're saying taking caffeine.
You take pills?
Yeah, my pre-workout has caffeine.
With what? Oh, the powder? It's a like a whatever you're taking.
It comes in pill form.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. I mean, I've been doing this regularly for like a year. I was wondering if there's just sort of a limit on how much caffeine I should take.
Well, caffeine seems to be a harmless product, right? It does cause, you can cause panic, and you can have a little withdrawal syndrome, right? Headaches, that kind of thing. Obviously, insomnia and generalized anxiety. But there does not appear to be a really medically relevant problem. There's something called caffeineism, people that really take too much and they get an agitation from it. But that's not you. And people are genetically different in their response to caffeine. Some people are very resistant to the stimulant effect. It works by it's the adenosine system, which kind of it backs off the adenosine. So it's like taking your foot off the brakes in a way. So it's just sort of an interesting biology. It's not a direct stimulant like something like amphetamine.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I think most people think it's a stimulant.
Yeah. But it has stimulant effects, but it does it by taking the foot off the brake, not by pushing on the accelerator.
Right. So you have some sort of governor, mm-hmm. and this just takes it off.
Yeah.
This twists out the governor, lightens up the governor, but doesn't give you a bigger engine.
Correct.
See, I like to put everything in karting, go-kart lingo.
Got
to
get to wheels somehow.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt you, and some people are very unaffected by it. But it's good for muscle metabolism. You know, using it as a pre-workout makes perfect sense because it does improve muscle, some minor effect on strength.
I think a million years ago, listening to radio once again, I heard Dr. Dean Adele. Mm-hmm.
Dean Adele. Yeah.
Dr. Dean Adele. Still doing talk radio?
I don't think so. Nicest guy ever. But I always took issue with one thing about Dean. Super smart guy.
Mm. Oh, is it you?
Nope, not that.
Not for
maybe,
you.
Maybe,
but, yeah, for millions
he,
of Americans.
He is an ophthalmologist.
Oh.
And was always talking about general medical issues that he'd never had any relationship with. I could tell by the way he talked about it.
I remember him saying cup of coffee before workout is a good idea.
It is a good thing.
Got myself a rowing machine yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, I like it.
I got to come see your house. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you got to see it. I do realize that it's funny. Drew, I want you to speak on this. Speak on this. Speak on this subject.
Go.
I'm going to tease it, but here's what I want to know.
All right.
The house, it basically came with an elliptical machine.
Weird.
Yeah. Had a workout room. I think it was they're moving to Vancouver or something. Like, cost more money to ship it there than it would, you know.
Got it.
So the elliptical is like you stand on the pedal bikey thingy, tracky thing, and you move the arms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'll tease this. I was riding on it, and 10 minutes felt like 10 days to me. It wasn't that painful. Although you could feel it in the quads, but it was like, I'm bored off my. Yeah. I'm so bored with this motion. Like, I hate this motion.
Yeah.
And again, like staring at the clock, going, God, that's 40 seconds in. I'm already like ready to go eat something. And but I've been just sort of forcing myself to do it for 20 minutes or whatever. I got this rowing machine yesterday, and I jumped on it, and I was like, oh, I love this. I love this motion. Mm-hmm. And the 10 minutes on the rowing machine felt nothing like the 10 minutes. It was like one was PE and the other was algebra class, you know? And it was like, it's the same 20 minutes, but one just feels like intolerable, and the other's like, where'd the time go? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because of the motion, you know what I mean? In engaging whatever muscles. What I'm going to tease to you is like, how real is that? Like how, you know, I'm sitting there rowing on the rowing machine going like, hey, I'm using my thighs, I'm using my back and whatever. And I have a stronger back than I do thighs. But I'm saying there's something about the physiology of this movement, not the difficulty or the strength or anything, that it's just, whereas anyone else would get on the elliptical machine and probably find that better than the rowing machine. Mm-hmm. But I want to know how that changes from person to person and how you should find maybe your rowing machine of life, because it ain't the elliptical for me, but it is the rowing machine. And we'll talk about that. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Reduce your risk of becoming a victim of tax scams. Don't log into bank accounts or unsecured Wi-Fi networks. Don't prepare and file your tax returns on public computers. If you're using a computer at a library, I don't know. I'm not sure how much taxes you're paying, but check into that. Anyway, remember, IRS employees won't email you. Don't click links in emails claiming to be from the IRS. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Don't let it happen. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Drew?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock, where Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com for 10% off.
All right. Physiology talk, Drew. Go. Yeah.
Well, you know, Gary, remember I did that muscle fitness genes, guys. I talked to them. And we're beginning to zero in on specific genetics around diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, they said to me, guy said to me, he goes, oh, no, you need to work out 6 days a week. You should be lifting heavy weight, small reps. And I was like, yeah, I know that. That's what I like to do. That's mm-hmm. what I can't get enough of. And guess what? One of the reasons I like doing it is because I get the most out of it.
Right.
So there are things – for some people, it is that sort of slow twitch, endurance kind of musculature, which I would argue the elliptical is sort of that. But it's such an unnatural motion that if you're not getting any real push out of it and any real strengthening sort of movement. Well, with rowing, you're getting lots of real – you can do an endurance type movement with it. But you can be pushing a little weight there, both with your legs and your arms. And that is a very different effect on the endorphin system, right, for some mm-hmm. people, and a very different sense on the blood supply to the muscles, completely different. And it feels different. And one is sort of gratifying, mm-hmm. and the other is sort of bleh. It's just sort of nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the gratification, you know, that's why I always urge people to, you know, you have to find the right exercise for you. Vinny, I think, would agree with us on this.
Episode 312, by the way, Dr. Dan Reardon and Dr. Todd Hutton.
That was Dr. Drew podcast, yeah.
Yes.
So. Vinny and I have had conversations about this, about, you know, finding the right thing. And too many trainers just get these sort of, they get ideologies in their heads. And that's the way you do it, and that's that. And it's just like, it's good, but it's not good for me.
Yeah.
And you have to really figure out and give an individual's physiology to, A, give them the most reward for the experience so they keep doing it, and B, the most benefit from the experience. So,
well, first and foremost, if they don't want to do it, whatever that do it is in life,
yes,
and it could
yes.
be mow your lawn or row on your rowing machine or ride your elliptical – anything you really don't want to do, you're just going to do less of.
Yep.
Now, the best people in the world will do 20% less of it. Most people will do 96% less of
right.
it or
so,
nothing.
So this is back to what we were talking about yesterday, which was motivation. When people have motivation, magically they get it done. Now,
right.
super disciplined people, as you said, which is like 3% of the population will do it even when they aren't super motivated in that direction from a standpoint of reward. They find other kinds of motivation and they discipline themselves into it.
Yeah, it's so funny for me. I'm so balance-oriented that I like literally reward myself. Like I ride the elliptical for 10 minutes and then I can stand on the mm-hmm. bongo ball thing with the cylinder and the double-ended thing, and mm-hmm. I get to like pay myself back by standing on that thing and balancing mm-hmm. for 10 minutes, and then I'll go back to the elliptical like, all right, now it's time to pay the fiddler. But the balance thing, which some people have no interest in or find it tedious or boring or
but
dangerous or whatever, for me it's like, give me that ball.
It's rewarding.
What's
yeah.
that thing called, Gary? What is it? It's called
– slant not, board or something, balance board?
It's not – there's a brand name, and it's not – the Bosu balls, that blue thing with the bottom on it. But
while he's looking it up, let me just talk about True Car.
Like a bingo board.
That's how long it takes Gary, 60 seconds, to look this up. You could also just as quickly go and get an offer, a cash offer for your car. Just go to True Car. From your smartphone or computer, enter your license plate number, watch your car's details pop up, answer a few questions, get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. Bring your car in. They'll check it out with you, ask them questions, and no surprises. You just leave with your check, or you can trade in your car. That's right. You can use TrueCar to lock in a real price, including fees and accessory, for a new or used. It could be a new ride, but it could be a new or used car, and TrueCar is available for both. Lock in a real price, a true price, for an actual vehicle on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot, and you'll leave with a new car. When you are ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. There it is. Bongo board.
Yeah. This one's called something else, but it's the same deal. Yeah. It's one of those things that looks hard, but it's exceedingly easy to ride on.
Hugh Hefner used to do that at the opening of his show.
Yeah.
Playboy After Dark.
It's a good...
why? I don't never knew why.
I guess it seems cool, and I put my son on it, and I stood behind him, and I kind of said, I got you. Now put your arms out, pick a spot on the wall, stare at the spot on the wall, and kind of go right, left. But every time he got a little bit loose, his hands would come flying down to grab my hands. Mm. And I was saying to him, I got you. Keep your hands out and save it. Mm-hmm. You can't save it if your hands go flying down. You can save it if your hands stay out. Keep your hands out. I got your hips. I'm an inch away from each hip, but as soon as you start losing it, I'll clamp down on you. Couldn't reflexively not bring his hands down. Now, when I was his age, I would have been like, get out of the way. But even if you're there, I know you're there. Yeah. Like, I trust that. It's a weird wiring, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does that work, by the way?
What?
Well, Lynette is a little tentative in the life department. I have no qualms about anything in that. So he obviously got that somewhere.
Yeah.
We got it from her, or that's who he is, or
both, yeah. And why don't you have that? You're talking about two things. One is fear, which you kind of don't have. Your parasympathetic system is on overdrive.
It's not, but hold it's on. Not because I'm brave.
No, I understand. It's a biology.
You just don't have fear.
It just doesn't. Yeah, it's quite a bit to turn fear on for you, and you're kind of have a thrill seeking thing, kind of, and so that's rewarding. So you're going, you know, carrot and stick. You know, both ways work for you. He's got probably both. He's not thrill seeking. We know that. Right, and he has fear easily, so there you go.
Well, one time he slept over at a friend's house without...
Oh, my God, he did? Oh, is he brave.
Without Owly Owl or Petey Panda.
Wow.
So you take that back about the whole fear thing.
I did. You're right. It must just be he's not a thrill seeker.
He literally traveled without his stuffies.
Wow. Yeah. So there you go.
So there you go. Yeah. Not Taco Bell material, stand-up special. Get it at Chassis, CHASSY.com. And thank you in advance because we're doing it ourselves. You can get it at iTunes as well. Go to AdamCarolla.com for anything you need. Dates, a lot of dates up there, doing some live stand-up around the world, around the country. Heather Dubrow's World, by the way, on Podcast One. She's a sweetheart. Check that one out. What do you got, Drew?
Everything is at drdrew.com. Get the new Dr. After Dark. You will like it, I promise.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Say it. Mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.